Today's daf is Chulin daf Yudches, and we are at the sixth wide line on daf Yud Zayin Amid Beis Omar Rav Chisda. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Rufu Shalema of Eliezer Yeshaya Ben Bracha. Today's daf is also being learned Le Ilui Nishmas Binyamin Ben Reb Pinchas. So, at the very end of yesterday's daf, the Gemara pivoted to a technical conversation, which was in very stark contrast to the overwhelming majority of yesterday's daf, which was anything but technical. It was historical. It was pshutei shel mikra dig. It was raid dig. It was lumdish. It's something that is discussed at length from the Rishonim, as in Rashi, Tosfos, the Ramban, and the Rambam, all the way through the contemporary Achroinim, as we're going to see Be'ezer Hashem in today's raid. But the latter part of the daf got involved in a very technical conversation, which, if you're a farmer, or at the very least a shaychet, I think made more sense. It discussed different pgimos, notches, inside the sakin, when it would render the shchita, a shchitas nevelo, or a shchitas trefa, and when it would actually be okay. Either way, the Gemara is going to take the cue, and we're going to have now another discussion as it relates to knives and notches and how they intersect with the laws of shchita. That, by the way, is going to be the first part of today's daf. The second part of today's daf, we're going to start getting into an even more technical, if you can believe it, discussion with regards to shchita, and that is one of the five halachos l'Moshe Misinai, specifically the one known as hagrama, which is going to require background in the anatomy and physiology of animals, which is way above my pay grade. Stating that, a lot of Gemara, a lot of technicalities. We will, Be'ezer Hashem, do what we do. And then when it comes to raid, this is easy. We're going to go back to yesterday's daf and talk a lot about the machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. But first, we have a lot of ground to cover. So, how do you know that the shoychet, before he shechts, has to check the knife to make sure that there are no notches? Rav Chisda said it's learned out from a pasuk, Ushchatetem bozev achaltem. Now, this pasuk is in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yudalid, and the context over there is Shaul is checking a knife to make sure the shchit is okay. Ushchatetem bozev. Bozev always means you're looking it between the eyes. So you see, Ushchatetem with something that I looked at, and then and only then, Vachaltem, is it going to be okay to eat? Faith the Gemara Pshita. I don't know, why did Rav Chisda need a pasuk to tell me that you have to do a bedika sakit? Kiv and the chinakav trefo. Being that in the event that there would be a nekev in the kana or the veshet before the shechita was done, it would render the animal into a trefa. So it's obvious by a bedika you should have to do a bedika. Meaning, why are you doing a bedika sakin? To make sure the shechita is going to be a proper shechita. So I need a pasuk to know that you have to do a proper bedika, right? As if you would have a pasuk somewhere in the Torah that says that before you take your esrig, make sure you boydik the esrig to see if it's kosher. If an esrig has to be kosher, I have to do a bedika. So, obviously you need to do a bedika sakin. Why do I need a pasuk extra in Shmuel Aleph to tell me this halacha? So the Gemara says, you're right. To teach me the ikar halacha of bedika sakin, I don't need a pasuk. Abba l'chacham kamrinan. Where Rav Chisda was learning from that pasuk was that you need bedikas chacham. Sho'ol, ushchatetem bozeh. It was given to a chacham, a third party, an objective person. That's what you learn from that pasuk. Fake the Gemara. Can't be. You know why? Because Rabbi Yechon, that the whole halacha of giving it to a sakin is just a way of being mechabed the chacham. But it sounds like me'ikra din, it's not actually something that you have to do. Now, if you're going to tell me that the pasuk is coming to teach me, not bedika sakin, because that's pshita, but rather the fact that l'chacham kamrinan, so how could it be only mitnei kvodei shal chacham? Sounds like that's the ikar halachas learned out from a pasuk. Says the Gemara, you're right. You have to say midrabanan. That really, bedika sakin is pshita. And the fact that you have to show it to a chacham, that's only a din derabanan. Like Rabbi Yochanan said, amru lahari sakin l'chacham, elam b'pnei kvodei shel chacham. I, Rav Chisda, brought a pasuk. Ukras machta b'almahu. This pasuk is mernit and asmachta b'almahu. So at the end of the day, Rav Chisda said, minayin l'bedika sakin min ha-teira shenem ushchatetem bozev achaltem. After further review, number one, it's not minayin l'bedika sakin, it's minayin l'bedika sakin l'chacham. And number two, even though he brought a pasuk, all it is an asmach d'bam. There is an interesting sidebar conversation in the Achreinim, which we're not going to get into, but it's something that always comes up, and we've referenced so many times over the years, and that is Rav Chisda said, "Minayin lebedika sakin min haTorah." Shenemar, a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. It sounds like Shmuel Aleph would be considered Torah. So we know that whatever it says in Nevi'im Uksuvim is always referred to as Divrei Kabbalah. Is Divrei Kabbalah Da'iraisa? Is it only the Rabbanon? Is it somewhere in between? Minayin lebedika sakin min haTorah. Shenemar Shmuel Aleph sounds like it has maybe the chashivos and the significance of a Dvar Torah. Either way. So Rav Chisda just, in a very structured way, introduced the concept of Bedika Sakin. The Gemara now is going to have a lengthy discussion how exactly the Sakin was checked, meaning how exactly is this Bedika done, says the Gemara. B'marava, in Eretz Yisrael, Batkila B'Shimsha. They would look in the sun, and that's how they would do the Bedika. B'Naharda, which was in Bavel, of course, Batkila B'Maya. They would put the knife in the water, and depending on the wave that it created in the water, that would determine whether it had a pekima, didn't have a pekima. Rav Sheshes Badakle Belishnei, he would put it on his tongue. That's the way he would check it. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Badale Bechot Asayra, he would put a here along the knife, and if the here would get stuck in it, that meant there was some sort of notch there. Bisura, which was another locale in Bavel, Amri, they would say, Bisra Achla, Bisra Livdaka. What are you checking? You're checking to see if when it's going to go through the basar, is it going to create a nekev or is it not going to create a nekev? So what, you're checking it in water? You're checking it on your own tongue? You're checking it with a chut asayra? Cut through the meat that you're going to ultimately be cutting. And therefore, you have to use real live flesh as the object of the bedika in order to know exactly what this is. Rapapa. Rapapa said, bedika abisra. The bedika has to be done on the bisra, which Rashi says means the basar of the etzba, va'atufra, which means on the fingernail, va'atlasu ruchasa. Additionally, you have to be bedik it in three different places. You have to be bedik on the blade side, and then on the two sides of the blade, there too, you would have to be bedik it as well. Taisvis, second Taisvis on the Amid says, why abisra va'atufra? Says Taisvis, abisra mishum veshet, va'atufra mishum. So again, we're not sheikhtim and farmers, but it seems that the veshet mirrors, just based on its consistency, bisra, the kana mirrors tufra, so you have to be boidik to make sure there's going to be no issue with the kana, there's going to be no issue with the veshet. That's why you do it in those ways. Additionally, Rapapa is saying another halach, you have to do the tlas ruchasa, because again, all three of these sides are going to make contact with the animal, so therefore you have to check in all three of these ways. Amalei Ravina l'Ravashi, Ravina told Ravashi, Amalei Rav Sama Breid Ramasharshi Mishmech, you know, Rav Sama Breid Ramasharshi had told us, in your name, the Amalei Mishmech, the Rav, that you said in the name of Rav, exactly what Rapapa said, that the way you do the bedika is, number one, bisra, number two, tufra for the kana and the veshet. Additionally, it has to be on the tlasa ruchasa. Amalei Rav Ashi told Ravina, a bisra vatufra amri, it's true, I'm moide b'miktsas. A bisra vatufra I sent, vatlasa ruchasa layamri, but as relates to tlasa ruchasa, I never said. Ikadami, some say that what Rav Ashi told Ravina was, a bisra vatufra tlasa ruchasa amri, it's true, I said all of that. However, you got it a little bit wrong, because you said that I said it in the name of Rava, mishmeid Rava layamri. That part of it is not true, I never said it in the name of Rava. Ravina v'Rav Acha brei de Rava, have a yasvi kamei de Rav Ashi. Ravina and Rav Acha Brei de Rava was sitting in front of Rav Ashi. Could you read this line Gemara the same way after the rain in the beginning of Masechta Schulin? I know I can't. So Ravina and Rav Acha Brei de Rava are both sitting in the presence of Rav Ashi. And somebody brought a sakin in front of Rav Ashi to do a bedika. I'm lay the Rav Acha Brei de Rava. So Rav Ashi turned not to Ravina. It's interesting. He turned to Rav Acha Brei de Rava, his other right hand man, and he told him, "Bitka, I want you to do a bedika." Batcha. So okay, so Rav Acha did a bedika. What did he do? Atufra. Va'bisra va'tlasa ruchasa. Amaleis Rav Ashi told him, Yeyasher, you're doing moiridik v'chein. Amar Rav Kahana, who was Rav Ashi's Rebbe, my Rebbe Rav Kahana, he said the same thing. Rav Yema, Amar Rav Yema said, Atufra va'bisra tzricha. So Rav Yema said, I hold that Atufra va'bisra is something that you have to do. However, as it relates to vatlasa ruchasa, that already something that loy tzricha, you don't have to do. Which, by the way, in one of the versions, that was Shitas Rav Ashi. Remember, Ravina told Rav Ashi, I heard in your name that you have to do bisra tufra tlasa ruchasa. I heard you say in the name of Rava, so there were two Lashonis where Ravashi's response was. One response was, I never said Klasa Ruchasa. The other response was, I said Klasa Ruchasa, I just didn't say in the name of Rava. So this Rav Yemar is going like that first Lish in the previous Gemara, that there's an idea of Atufra Vabistra for the Kana and the Veshet, but Klasa Ruchasa you don't know. Have to. Why? And the Gemara says something very geschmack. Because me, I'm Rav Zera Mashmul. Didn't Rav Zera say in the name of Shmul? In the event somebody made a sack in white hat, and he went ahead and he did a Shchitasik Sher, it's going to be kosher. I warrant you worried that maybe before the Kohen and the Veshet was severed, maybe they got burnt, they were singed, and as a result, really, this is not a kosher shechita. The reason is based on two things. Shechitu the kodem lilibuna, because the sharpness of the sakin is going to sever the Kohen and the Veshet before the libun is going to make it hot. I the kashalom, but the mneshi had a kasha. It could stodim. What about the stodim, right? The stodim are maybe, yeah, going to make it hot. He said, because the amount of heat that's on the spitz is very little, but the amount of heat that are on the sides, that would be greater. Vamrina, now what was the test? It's because Reb Zeira holds Beis HaShchita Mirvach Ravach. So as you slit the Kohen and the Veshet, it spreads out and the sides never actually touch it. Says the Gemara, Rav Yemar said, Hachanami Beis HaShchita Mirvach Ravach. That's why I hold you don't have to check the Tlasa Ruchasa, because that's never going to make contact. It's only the Chidu that's going to make contact. It's based on Reb Zeira's Memra, Daflos Chumash Torah, from Chulin, Davches, Amid Aleph. More laws related two notches. There are three areas in halacha where you find the concept of a pgam. Pgimas etzem bepesach. So we know there's a lav in the Torah of etzem leisish berubai when it comes to the bones of the carbon pesach. Any pgam in the bone of the carbon pesach would already be a problem. Pgimas oizem bebchar. A bechar, there's a big nafkemina if it's a tam or if it's a balmum. Right? Either way, it goes to the kohen. But whether the kohen has to be makrib as a carbon, there's a big nafkemina. That's why the ikar sugis of balimum are actually in the parasha bechar. It's the next mesecht in the daf yomi machzer. We're going to get to it, Bezer Hashem. But the point is, there's a halacha that if the bechar has a pgam, specifically pkimas oizen, it would be considered a pgam. If you take a look at Rashi and Tosfos, they both say oizen is lavdafka, but for whatever reason, it's not our sugi now, Reish Lakish picked on the oizen. And finally, pkimas mum bekachim. Really, any animal, any kachim that has any mum, if it's a pgam, that in and of itself would be a problem. Now, if you mention pkimas oizen bepchar, why do you also have to mention pkimas mum bekachim? Again, Tosfos speaks out that there's a bezundere chiddush as it relates to the laws of mumin regarding a bechar, and that's why it's singled out independently. Rav Chizda said, this is really what we need, apkimas sakin. That there's another area in halacha, and that is if there's a pkam and a sakin, that's going to be an issue. So again, Rav Huna bar Rav Ketina sent the name Reish Lakish. Shalish pkimas saying, pkimas etzem leisish berubai, pkimas oizen bepchar, pkimas mum bekachim. All kachim de galachas. Rav Chizda said, even Pekimasakin. Says more of Idach. Rav Shlokish, he's not Rav Chizda. He didn't say Pekimasakin. Why do you only mention three? What, he doesn't hold of the laws of Pekimasakin? Right, by the way, it's Geshmak. Rav Chizda, who's the one who started the Sugi, Minayin Lebedika Sakin Minat Torah, he's the one that said Pekimasakin. It's nice. Geschmack, it's cute. But at the end of the day, Reish Lakish also holds that Pekimasakin is going to be a problem. So why didn't he say it? So the Gemara says, Bechulin like Kamai. Reish Lakish was learning Kachem. He wasn't learning Chulin. Malam Chulin, Sedanach Halach, in Kachem. There's three halachas of Pekimah. Says the Gemara of Kulon, as it relates to all these Pekimahs, what is the shear Pekimah? Pekimahs and Kedei Pekimahs HaMizbech. It's the same shear as the Pekimah of the Mizbech. So another area where there was halacha of Pekimah was the halacha of the Mizbech. In Masech Tezvachim, there's a sugya of the Mizbech Shenifkam. If it's missing a little part of the Mizbech, that in itself could be an issue. By the way, Tosfos asks, if Pekimah's Mizbech is also a Pekimah, so why do we say Shalosh Pekimah same in Kachim? There's a fourth. What about the Pekimah's Mizbech? I ain't shocked. But either way, says the Gemara, V'kama Pekimah's Mizbech. Okay, we're getting there, albeit very slowly. What is the Pekimah's Mizbech? You're telling me the shir Pekimah of all the aforementioned is like the shir of the Pekimah's Mizbech. What is the shir of the Pekimah's Mizbech? Says the Gemara, K'dei shetachker batzi pyrin. It's if there's enough that if your nail would go across it, it would get stuck, that's what the shear would be. Faith the Gemara, statue Meisvei, I'll ask you a kasha. The shear Pekimah's Mizbech is kidei shetachker batzi pyrin. I have a mufurish b'raisa that says a different shear. Kama Pekimah's Mizbech, Rav Shimon ben Yechoi, Oymer Tefach, Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov, Oymer Kezayis. It sounds like it's a different shear, so the Gemara says loy kasha. Ha, the one that says Tefach or Kezayis is talking about Besida. It's referring to the sid, the lime, that covered the Mizbech. Ha, the shear that we said that's totally in kidei shetachker batzi pyrin, that's Ba'avna, that's talking about the actual stones of the Mizbeach. So the stones of the Mizbeach couldn't have begun, and the snit of the Mizbeach couldn't have begun. And as it relates to these two things, they're actually not one and the same. It's not the identical share. Either way, so this last Gemara discussed high level with regards to Pkimos, Shalosh Pkimos same, Pkimos Etzem B'Pesach, Pkimos Oizem B'Bchor, and Pkimos Mum B'Kachem. Avchizah said even Pkimos Sakin. And then we said a shear. It's the shear of the Pkimos HaMizbeach. And what's the shear of the Pkimos HaMizbeach? There's really two shear. We have the shear as it relates to the coating, which is the Sid, and we have the shear as it relates to the Avonin. One is Kadesh HaTachgur B'Tzipayrin, and the other one is either a Tefach or Kizayas. Does this stem with the first Gemara that we learned? We had like five different opinions in terms of how the Bedikas Sakin was. I mean, it sounds like it's not Tully and putting it in water, putting it under the sun. And doesn't it sound like really it should be Tully and whatever just emerged from the Sugyos? So again, Ayin B'Rishonim that discussed, is this another Shear or is this all somehow consistent with what the previous Gemara was? So the Gemara Vayit. Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna said, "Hay tabchet loisar sakin kamechachem." So we mentioned that Rav Chizda, who opened up today's daf, minayin lo b'dika sakin minat Torah, shenem shchatem mezav achalta, meant not just that you have to do b'dika because that's pshita, but that when you buy the kasakin, mishum kvoido yishal achachem, you have to give it to the chachem. So Rav Huna said that if there's a butcher who does not show his sakin to a chachem, misham tinalei, we put him in cheirim. Rav Amar, that's nothing. Ma'abrinonlei, we make him lose his job. Umachrezinon abisrei the treifei. And not just that, we put a pashkevillin to say that all his flesh is treif. And the Gemara says, "Vlei pligi." Even though it sounds like there's a machloikis, right? One is a little more harsh than the other. Kan b'shenim tzakine yof. Kan b'shloinim tzakine yof. In the event that we did a bedika afterwards and we found he's doing the right thing, he's just violating the principle of showing it to a chacham. M'shamtinalei. Why m'shamtinalei? So this is a gishmak. It's because we know one of the people that was put in shamta was a person that's mevaz tam chacham. That's a dover muskim throughout Shas. So being that this person, he's not really violating the laws of Treifus. What he's violating is the fact that he's not giving the cover to the Chacham like Rabbi Yochanan said. So therefore, you get the oinish of someone that's not mechapel the Chacham properly, and Mesham Tinale, you're going to put him in Cherim. If, however, you find out afterwards that his Sakin was bad, well, that's easy. Mabrinale, yeah, this is clearly not the right work for you. Additionally, Machrezin Abisri, the Treifi, because, let's be honest, it might be a Treifi. Ravina said, Hechaglo Nims Sakine Yafa. You know, Rava said that if his Sakin was found to not be Yafa, Mabrinale, Machrezin Abisri, the Treifi, if the sakin wasn't yafa, you know what we do? Memasmus le beparta. Rashi says, we take his basa and we smear it with soya. Because if we're going to just make it into a treifa, okay, so at least his dogs are going to be well fed. Right? Treifa's mutabana. What we do is we make it disgusting. We do something to it that will cause even the Ovid Kechavim to be fa'ekled from it. And as a result, he's going to be punished. So again, it's me'inyan le'inyan ba'yisa'inyan. The nafkamina is Rav held that at the very least will allow him to have hanah from it. Whereas Ravina says, I disagree. I don't even think he can have hanah. So the Gemara, a story, a postscript. Who tapped? There was a butcher who didn't check his sakin. Kame de Rava Bar Chinina, meaning he didn't show it to Rava Bar Chinina. So Rava Bar Chinina was the prevailing rabbi. He was the chacham, and he was the one that was inspecting the knives of all the butchers. And this one shaychet didn't give his knife to Rava Bar Chinina. So Shamte, Rava Bar Chinina put him in cheirin, the abre, and he removed him from his job. The achrus abisrei the treifei, and he said that his boss is treifa. Right, did everything but put the tzoya on top of the bossar. Iklu marzucha rav Ashi legabe. In the meantime, marzucha rav Ashi came to visit Rav Bar Chinina. Amaluhu, he told them la'ainu rabbanim b'mulsa. He says, you know, I feel a little bit bad about what I did. You know why? Because I found out that Tolu Beit Tafli, that he has a shtib mit kinder. He has a whole family that he's supporting. I caused this guy to lose his parnasa because he wasn't being mechabed me properly. Like, in a way, I feel bad. Maybe there's some sort of aids. So the Gemara says, Batker Rav Ashi l'sakine. So Rav Ashi went, he was by the kesakiv, and him to see Yafa, and he saw it was good. The achshere, and he said, oh, based on that, it's going to be kosher. What's the methodology? The methodology is, because in as much as there is an idea that if there's a sheikhet that doesn't show the sakin to the chacham, that the abri, the achres, abisri, the trefi, but we already said that's only true if we found out that there was something wrong with the sakin. Well, apparently, Rav Bar Chinina never did the bedika because Rav Ashi did and he found that the knife was good. So Rav Ashi sort of took the position that Rav Bar Chinina went a little overboard. And as a result, he said, you know what, we could be machsheret because at the end of the day, the only thing this person did was, is he violated giving the proper cover to the Chacham, so put him in Cherem, that's fine, but at the same time, the Cherem will eventually end, you can be matter to the Cherem, and he's going to have a parnos, so we can maintain his reputation, he'll be able to support his children. But the Gemara says, Mazucha turned to Rav Ashi, and told him, how do you have a right to do that? L'maisa, Rav Bar Chinina said his shechitas pasul. How do you have a right to go ahead and now say it's kosher? He told him, Shlichus Kavdin, he told me to look into it, I don't know what you want from me. He says, I'm not making this up. Rav Bar Chinina said, look into it a little bit. What did he mean? He meant try to be melamed tzchus, try to come up with an etza. So he was able to come up with an etza. But the bottom is what you see from here is that Rav Bar Chinina, the Chatchila, Rashi speaks this out, was of the opinion that really any butcher that's loisar sakina kamichacham, even if we find out afterwards that his sakin was good, still it's giving ma'brinoi machriz and abisu de trefi. Meaning, when we started the Gemara, Rav Huna said, "Hay tapcha the loisar sakina kamichacham v'shamtinu." Rava said, "Ma'brinoi machriz and abisu de trefi." And the Gemara said, "Vlei pligi," because everybody agrees that if the sakin ends up being good, it's only v'shamtinu. Everybody agrees if it's not good, he has to find another job. Rabbi Bar Chinina clearly didn't hold that way. Because Rabbi Bar Chinina had not checked the sakin, and the only thing that he knew for a fact this person was violating was he wasn't giving him the proper chacham. Covered, and he went ahead and he put him in Cherem, that's fine, but in addition to that, he was Abir Vachas Abisrei. So really, in the Cheshbon of the Gemara, this was a third cheetah. End of the day, Rav Ashi was overriding it, and he says, no, there's a Gemara of Eloi Pligi. That's Pashit, that you have to do something. He violated your covet, but he doesn't have to lose his job because of the fact he didn't show it to the Chacham. The only time it would be warranted for him to lose his job is in the event that he actually was using a bad sack, says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Bar Huna. Rabbi Bar Huna said, Shein Telusha, a detached tooth, Vitzipoyrin Telusha, or a detached fingernail. You're allowed to shech with l'chatchila. So that's a long nail and a sharp tooth. But the bottom line is, if you want to do shechita with that, that's something you could do. It has like Malika vibes, right? Says the Gemara of Anantanan, we learned in a Mishnah. Bakol shoichten. What did the Mishnah say? Chutz mimagol kotzev amigeirov ashinayim v'hatzipoyrim v'bnei shein choinkin. So what's the kasha? Kasha shein ashein kasha tzipoyrim, not tzipoyrim, right? That's the chur the kasha. The Gemara says, no, shein ashein like kasha. As relates to the stira in shein, Rabbi Bar Avuna da Meir said you could shecht with a shein. The Mishnah said shina. You can't check with. That's not shver habichado habitarti. You could say very simply. Rabbi Bar Huna said shein in the singular. The Mishnah said shinayim. Maybe there's a difference between one and two. Maybe one you can have more control over. That's going to be okay. Two is already going to be an issue. Tzipur not tzipur like kasha as it relates to tzipur not tzipur. Then you can't say that. Why? Because Rabbi Bar Huna said tzipur in the singular, and the Mishnah didn't say tzipur nayim. It said tzipur also in the singular. So chad v'tarti is not going to work. But there too, you can answer habetlusha habemichuberes. Rabbi Bar Huna said tzipur in tlusha. As opposed to a tzipayrin that's attached, it's not going to be okay. By the way, once you say haba tlusha haba mechuperes, you could probably answer shein hashein that way also. But shein hashein, you don't have to come on to that. He said shein, he said shinai. It's from tzipayrin that it's muchrach to say this distinction. And that is, there's a difference between whether it's talush or whether it's mechuper. Moving along. If somebody goes ahead and he shechs with a magal katzah, so magal katzah was one of the things that the previous Mishnah had mentioned is in the small group of exceptions of things you're not allowed to shecht with, right? Hakol shechten, loylem shechten, bakol shechten, chutz. Few things. One of them was the magal katzer. That's the harvest sickle. Stating that, zok the Mishnah, what would be if somebody shechts with a magal katzer, b'derech halichaser? Say he was meilech, but he wasn't mevi. So we saw this reading yesterday's after. Not every time did you have to be meilech or mevi. A sakin arucha, for example, you can be meilech without being mevi. But either way, if somebody is sheikh of a magal katzer, b'derech halichaser, it was only meilech, he wasn't mevi. B'shamay pois, b'shamay said, it's still going to be pasul. U'beis hillel machshirim, beis hillel says it's going to be kosher. Why is it going to be kosher? The reason is because the way the magal katzer is shaped is all the notches are on a diagonal, which causes all the sharp points that the notches created to be facing downwards. So if you're moilech, you're not going to make any contact with those edges. It's when you're mevi, that's when you're going to. So ashleicha b'magid katzah b'derech halichasa, be'etzim nothing happened. Stating that b'shamay poislin gzeira otu mevi, b'shil is always more mekel when machsher in this case as well. V'imechliku shina. What would be if somebody went, the butcher went, and he was machlik, he smoothed out all these edges. Harei kasakin, everybody holds like a sakin, that's for sure going to be okay. Meaning, even though you see we're sensitive to the magal katzah, still, magal katzah, right? You take it out of your farming toolkit. Doesn't matter. At the end of the day, there are a fanim where it's going to be okay. According to Beis Hillel, even if it has the edges, as long as you're Melech and Amevi, Bishami doesn't like that, but Bishami does agree if you smooth out the edges, even though it's a Magal Kotzer, still it's going to be fine. Amar Rab Chia Bar Abba, Amar Rab Yechanan, Avkich, Shechshir Beis Hillel. When Bisul said that Ashoich b'magul kotzab derech halichasa, it's kosher. Lo yechshiru ela tayrim dey nevela. All they said was it's not going to have tumas nevela. Avo b'achila asura, meaning they didn't mean that you could even eat it. Tafazoy vayit they hold like Beis Shammai. I'm worried about that. But lemais it's not a nevela, and as a result tumas nevela is not going to. Amar Rav Asher, Rav Asher said deikanami. I think I have a diak to this huge chiddush right from the Mishnah. The Ketani, the Mishnah said Beis Shammai poislin ubeis hilul machshir. For like Ketani, it didn't say Beis Shammai oisrin ubeis hilul matirin. Beis hilul matirin would say you're allowed to eat it. Machshir means it's kosher. What's kosher mean? Kosher means it's not tame. Now, does kosher really mean it's not tame? Tahar would mean it's not tame. Next gemara. Freit the gemara. L'tamech, according to you, listeni beis shamay metamin u beis hilul metarin. Ela zok the gemara, Rav Ashi, this deikanami, I don't hear so much. Because poislin u machshirin v'oisir u matirin. Hainu hach, hainu chadim. We'll see, I think it's all one and the same. And as a result, I don't think that there's a diuk to be had. So again, you want to say it, the great Rabbi Yechanan said it, who are we to argue? But to say deikonami, diktoni, poislin and not machshirin, I hear that really it could have said oisin or matirin, but if Rabbi Yechanan's right, it should have said metamin and not matarin. Alamai, oisin or matirin is somewhere in between, right? It's somewhere in between, and if anything, oisin or matirin sounds a little bit more like, or poislin machshirin sounds a little more like oisin or matirin, a little less like mitamin u mitar. Moving along, without coming up for breath, no shahiyah. So as it relates to the next mishta, so now we're really getting into the process of shechita. So if you think about it, up until now, it was the mi v'mi hashechten, and it was when can you do shechita? What type of animals require shechita? What type of knives can one use for shechita? Right? Can you pull out your chainsaw? Right? All these different halachas that we've been discussing up until this point. Now we're up to the next part of the story of shechita, and that is the actual shechita. So we know there are five halachas that govern hilchas shechita. The first one that's going to be discussed right now is what's known as hagrama. So what exactly is hagrama? So shechita had to be done on the kana and the veshet, stating that not the entire kana and not the entire veshet were kosher for the shechita. So you can get the kana and the veshet right, and you can actually get everything else right as well. But if it's in the wrong place, the location, within the kana and the veshet is not where it's supposed to be, that in and of itself could end up being an issue. If somebody shechts the animal on the kana and the veshet, again, you got everything right. The problem was it was in the wrong makom of the kana and the veshet. Al zeh nemar, the halach of hagrama, that's going to be an issue. There's another part to hagrama, and that is the law of hagrama states that it's not even enough that if you did the part of the shechita in the right place, could be it's not even enough if you did roiv of the shechita in the right place. You may actually have to get the entire shechita in the right place in order for it to be okay. As we'll see, it's a major machloikis tana. So again, really, hagrama at its core defines the makom in the kana and the veshet that the shechita had to take place. Now, naturally, the makom is going to have a high point and a low point, right? How high up the kana and the veshet can one go or not go? And how low on the kana and the veshet can one go or not go? Naturally speaking, it's going to be, you know, how high and how low, right? That goes without say. That's what the definition of hagrama is going to be. Our Mishnah, as we're going to see, is only going to discuss the high water mark. As far as the low water mark, it's not discussed. It's a discussion amongst the Mefarshe Talmud. Why is it that we only discuss the high part and not the low part? As a matter of fact, it's not going to be discussed in this Mishnah. It's not going to be discussed in a later Mishnah either. It's going to be discussed a little in the Sugya, but it's not going to be discussed in the actual Mishnah. And it seems like it was so poshet to the Chevra exactly what that was, that it was something that didn't even have to be said. So again, we're going to introduce the laws of Hagrama, but it's going to be done in a not such systematic way. You would have thought, Solkadait Chamina, I'm going to tell you the low part and the high part. Kamash Malon, as we're about to see, that's really not the way it's going to be. Now, we need a tiny bit of background as it relates to the anatomy and physiology of the animal in order to get this right. We're going to be focusing right now on the kana. which is also an interesting point. We don't even mention the hagrama of the veshet. It's fascinating, right? So we're discussing only the hagrama of the kana, and only the high part. How high is considered okay, and how high would already be considered too high? So what we need to know is as follows. The kana was surrounded by tissue and cartilage. Just the physical nature of the kana was surrounded. Now, these cartilage that surrounded the kana is what the Gemara refers to as tabois. The reason they refer to as tabois is because they were rings. Okay. The tabois that went all along the trachea, the kana, were tabois that didn't cover the entire kana. Important in terms of understanding the Gemara. So it covered most of it, rubai kakulai, as we'll see, but it didn't cover it 100%. So if you want to visualize it like a horseshoe. A horseshoe is a ring that almost closes, but doesn't close 100%. On the top of the kana, there was one tabas that's referred to as the tabas ha-gedoyla, the greater tabas, and that tabas was, number one, thicker than the other tabas. Additionally, it also covered the entire kana. On top of the tabas, if you have a picture, this is very helpful, there was what the Gemara is going to refer to as the koiva. The Gemara is going to refer to this as the helmet. It's going to refer to it as the hat. And this hat was shaped as being slanty on all sides, and it slopes upwards until it gets to the top, which is the chudai shel ha-koiva. It has this little spitz, like a hamantash, this koiva. That's how it's going to end up being on the top. The bottom line is, I think this is already bal toisef in terms of trying to fake it. If you have a presentation, you can watch. I highly recommend that. But the bottom line is, this is just a little bit of an understanding of exactly how this went. And without any further introductions, Okta Hilga Mishnah. If somebody shechts from within the tabas, or really what it means is bitoichakabas. If somebody shechts inside the tabas, and hatabas with hey ideas of Rashi is referring to that big tabas that goes around the entire kana that's on the top of the trachea. The sheer bamalei achot, and you left over a little bit, meaning you didn't color out of the lines. You didn't cut outside of the tabas hagdoyla. What was on top of the tabas hagdoyla? We mentioned there was a koiva. So you didn't go into the koiva. You didn't actually go into the hat. So you left over a malei achot al pnei kula. So there's one little piece of the tabas hagdoyla that still covers the entire circumference of the kana, right? You still have that intact because there's a little bit of leftover. You didn't cut through the entire thing. You left a little bit of it. The shechita is going to be kosher. Clearly implying, by the way, that if somebody would cut through it, even a little bit, now you went a little bit too high. So you have to leave a tiny bit of the top of the tabas ha-gedoyla in order for the shechita to be a kosher shechita. That's hagrama. Hagrama defines the makam of the shechita. Again, how high, how low. We said Mishnah not talking about how low. Mishnah not even talking about the veshet. We're just talking about how high on the kana. You want to know, you got to leave over a little bit of the tabas ha-gedoyla. But if you don't leave over a little bit of tabas ha-gedoyla, it's not going to be okay. And by the way, this is pasha pshan in the Mishnah Zok Rashi. If you would do roiv of it there, but you would just cut a little bit, that means part of the shechita went. So you don't have a little bit al pnei kula. Why? Because a tiny bit went down. Okay, a tiny bit. 98% of it was underneath it. There was one little nick that I got. And that's a problem. Because Hagrama says, according to the first sheet in the Mishnah, that the entire shechita, there's no rubai kakula business. The entire shechita has to be done in the right place. He said, malei achot al pnei ruba. He said that, no, in the event that you got most of it in the right place, even if you ended up getting a little bit on top, meaning you were only meshayer a malei achot al pnei ruba, why is it only al pnei ruba? Because some of the kana that severed was severed in that area, it doesn't bother me. Because as long as roiv of what had to happen was in the right place, that in and of itself is going to be okay. In other words, at first glance, the machlokes between the Tanakama, the Chachamim, and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and in the Mishnah is, what would be if somebody got roiv of the Shechita in a way where he conformed with Hagrama, but there was a miyut of it that he did not get in the right place? Would that be okay, or would that not be okay? According to the chachamim of the Mishnah, if yeshir ba meloy hachut al pnei kula, shechitas akshera, but if it's not pnei kula, even if it's pnei ruba, it's not going to be okay. Koin to Yosef Rav Yehuda, loy hachut al pnei ruba, that in itself is going to be okay. Another thing that you see in the Mishnah, and that is, what's the high watermark? What's the highest you're allowed to shecht on the kana? The highest you're allowed to shecht is the tabas hagdayla. That's the highest. But once you cut through the tabas hagdayla, you already went too high. The shaila in the Mishnah was, where roivah that I got in the right place, I only got a little bit above that. Is that an issue? Is that not an issue? The Chachamim say yes, it's an issue. Rabbi Yis, Rabbi Yudah says, Rubei Kukulai, as long as Rav of it was done in the right place, that in and of itself is going to be okay. Zokta Gemar, Rav Ushmuel da Amri Travayim. Rav and Shmuel both said, right, so whenever Rav says something, you pause. Whenever Shmuel says something, you pause. If it's Rav Ushmuel da Amri Travayim, you do a whole double take. So Rav Shmuel da Amri Travayu Alach Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. The Alach is like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Even though he's a Yochin in the Mishnah, and you would have thought Yochin v'Rav Malach k'Rabin, but Rav Shmuel da Amri Travayu, they both said no. The Alach is actually like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Says Rav Shmuel the Avri Yosef Yehuda loy Amar Elo b'Tabasak Doyle. Even Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, when he said his Alacha, he said that it's going to be okay the shechita if you shecht it on the tabas hagdoyla. Hoylu makefes es kol hakana, because tabas hagdoyla, as we mentioned in the introduction to this mishnah, covers the entire kana. Avol b'shar tabois, but let's say the shechita would have been done on one of the other tabois, loy, in that instance it wouldn't be okay. So what's Rav Shmuel being maisif? So let's just touch the words. What he's saying is that even Rabbi Yehuda holds that the shechit is kosher if it's on this cartilage in the event that it's the tabas hagdoyla. But if it's one of the lower tabois, being that they're not makiv the entire kana, in that instance it's not going to be okay. Now, what does that do with anything? Like, why would you think Rabbi Yehuda holds it is good, it's not good? Like, why is this even a discussion? I mean, even Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda was only machshir the tabas. It doesn't have to do with the shayla of Rabbi Yehuda. The machloek is Rabbi Yosef, Yehuda, and the chachamim is, if roiv of it I got in the right place, do we say ruba kukuloi? Do we not say ruba kukuloi? And you know what the high water mark is? It's the top of the tabas hagdoyla. Now, the low part, I don't, Mishnah never discussed the low part. And what did Rabbi Yosef, Yehuda tell you in the Mishnah that would have made you think that maybe one of the other tabois is going to be okay? And kamash malon ravish mul da amri travayu loy amri Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Like, why do you even have to say this? So Rashi. So crashy. Now I'm going to tell you why. Because what's the essence of Shitas Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda? Rubei Kukulei when it comes to Agron. If what he's saying is Rubei Kukulei, you could think that if you would shecht on one of those tabois that only cover roiv of the kana, that would be a proper makam shechita. Because even though you didn't shecht in an area that technically is the entire kana, because it's just something that's encircling most of it, but if Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Shita is Rubei Kukulei in the sugya of Hagrama, so maybe that in itself would be okay. That's why Rav Shmuel felt the necessity to speak this out. That even Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, that said what? Rubei Kukulei in Hagrama. He only meant it that in the event that Al Kopanim, you did it in a makim, that's Kuloi Veshet, and only Reviv was in that makim, Al Zenema Rubei Kukulei, even if you colored out of the lines as it relates to that last little piece. But if the Iker Shechita was done in an area that only covers Rubei Kukulei, that already is going to be different. That's why Rav Shmuel felt that they had to speak this out. Zok to Gemar. So Rav Shmuel essentially just said that there would have been a Havamina, the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, being that he holds Rubei Kukulei in Hagrama, holds that if you shecht in one of the other tabois, being that they cover Rubei, say Rubei Kukulei, that in itself would be okay. Rav Shmuel needed to make it very clear that's not the case. But the Gemara says, is that in fact true? Meaning, what's going to emerge now is that Havamina that Rav Shmuel had, that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda would hold based on Rubei Kukulei, that if you shecht on one of the other tabois, it's going to be okay, is actually maybe a reality. Ubishar tabois, my vatanya, we learned in a braisa, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, you ready? The punchline is the first line. Hashoychet bishar tabois, afal pishe ein makifois es kol hakana. If somebody shechts on one of these other cartilages, one of these other rings, even though it doesn't encircle the entire kana, hayul umakifa, he says reifa kana, being that it's makiv most of it, shchitas like sheira, the shchit is going to be kasha. Now we're going to finish the braisa, but really that's the kasha. You see, mefurish that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda extends the concept of Rubei Kukulei to these other tabois as well. But again, let's finish the braisa first. Umugremes psula. Mugremes is going to be pasul. So what does this mean? In the event that most of the shechita was done in the right place, but only part of the shechita was done in the wrong place, that in and of itself would be okay. Rashi says, if that's what Mugremes means, then v'rabbanan kamrilo. You have to say this is not Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yehuda talking. It's the Rabbanan of our Mishnah, because Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yehuda clearly holds Mugremes is kshera. And then finally, there's even a third opinion mentioned over here in this brisa. Heyed Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus al ha-Mugremes shehi kshera. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus said, as it relates to the Mugremes of the Chachamim, it's kosher. The Gemara is going to, in the course of the sugya, have a little bit of a discussion what exactly Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus means. But for now, let's stay focused. And that is, Rav and Shmuel both started off. They said, I want you to know two things. Number one, the halacha is like Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yehuda. The other thing I want you to know is that even though there'd be mokum to think that just like Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yehuda holds, that if Roiv of the Shechit is in the right place, the little bit that's in the wrong place is fine based on Rubik Akulai. But as it relates to shechting in a mokum that encircles only Rubai of the Kana, you're not going to say Rubik Akulai. That's the two memories that Rav and Shmuel say. Number one, the halacha is like Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yehuda. Now that you know it's the halacha, I need to clarify that Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yehuda only said his halacha as it relates to where the shechita was done in the tabas hagdolah. But if you're going to shecht on one of the other tabas, then already it's not going to be okay. By the way, I just want to be clear. According to Rav and Shmuel, in Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yehuda, if the person would shecht in between the tabas, that would also be fine. Because the area that's in between the tabois is the kana itself, and if you shecht on the kana, it's fine, right? You shouldn't walk away from this thinking, Rashi speaks this out, that according to Rav and Shmuel, like Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yehuda, you have to shecht on the tabas hagdola. You don't have to. There's a low watermark too. He's just coming lafuke the tabas, being that it only covers right of it. You would have thought Rubei Kukula, because isn't that shitas Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yehuda? Kamash mula not. But the bottom line is the Gemara said it's upgefrekt from a mufurish abraisa. For Tanya Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer at sheichet b'shar tabois afal pisha im makifas as kol hakano. Hayulam makifas is roiv hakano shechitasik sheit. Now we'll get to the next part of abraisa, the chachamim and heyed Rabbi Chaim ben Antignus. But now that in itself is a kasha. Zok the Gemara. You have to say Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda really said two things. Rav Shmuel Sari Kavase Bechada Upliga Alea Bechada. And a Chanami. Rav Shmuel are not denying that Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda said that Rubik Kekulei works even for the tabas that only covers Roiv of the Kana. Aye, if that's the case, what did Rav and Shmuel mean when they said Avul Bashar Taboyslai? That we don't paskin like Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda. That I paskin like Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda's halacha unto the Mishnah if you colored out of the lines. But in terms of if you did the shechita on that ringo, that already is not going to be okay. But the Gemara says not what Rav and Shmuel said, right? It didn't feel right. If you look back at the Gemara, v'haloi amar Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda Kamri, right? That's not what he says. The Gemara says hachi kamri. You got to do a little editor halacha kamoyse betabas agdol v'in halacha kamoyse b'shar tavoyes and achinami. So the Gemara, so Rav Zeira, where Rav Zeira came from Bavel Teretz Yisrael, as he very famously did. Och, al mugremes, the Rav and Shmuel. So he went and he ate the mugremes, the Rav and Shmuel. What does this mean? So Rashi says, this is talking about, he ate from an animal where there was a shechita that was done on one of the tabois, not the tabas hagdolah, one of the other tabois that only covered most of it, which was something that in the world of Rav and Shmuel is a mugremes. It violated the principle of hagrama because they hold in halacha Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda in that case. So Rav Zeir is going and he's being makel like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, like Rav and Shmuel, who said that even though halacha Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, it's only with regards to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda of the Mishnah. But as it relates to this Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, they're already not. So the Gemara says Amri Le. So the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, they turned to Rav Zeir and they told Lav me asked Rav Shmuelat, don't you come from Rav and Shmuel? So if you're from Rav and Shmuel, how could you go ahead and go not like Rav and Shmuel, right? You're coming from a place where the minig is to follow this memory of Rav and Shmuel, that Allah is not like Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yehuda. So how are you going ahead and you're being mekel? By the way, this is another Gemara where Rav Zeira is getting caught up in Machalos Asuras, right? Hashto behemten shal tzadikim. Refer back to the three Gemaras in the beginning of the Masechta and the Yerushalmi. But the bottom line is, said so they told him, don't you come from Rav. Honestly, he told him, man Amra. He said, one second, this memory that Rav and Shmuel, quote unquote, said that in Allah, Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yehuda, as it relates to the other dinar grama, tell me, who's the Memra. So they told him Yosef Bar Chia, more popularly known as Rav Yosef. So the Gemara says, Rav Zeira told him Yosef Bar Chia Mikula Al Magama. He has halachas from everybody. You know, he's a big Makabal. He was a Sinai, right? But it comes with an invoice, and that is sometimes he knows prices and things that are not 100% Iskahalten. He's not a bar samcha when it comes to this. So the Gemara says, Shamar Rav Yosef. Word trickled back to Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef got wind of this. By the way, this is Rav Zeir in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yosef's in Bavel. So somebody peddled back this halacha. Ikbid, he got angry. Omar, he said, Anami Kuli Amigomirna. He says, what? I get my halachas from everybody. Kilo was a hefkevelt. I'm not medakdek bishmuoysai. Anami Rav Yehuda Gomirna. I'm a Talmud Muvagar of Yehuda. Da afilu sveke de gavri goris. And you know who Rabbi Yehuda was? He now medaktik he was in his Messiah. If he had a suffix, who the person is in halacha that he was saying over, he would mention both. I'll give you an example. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba. Suffix mishmei de Rav, suffix mishmei de Shmuel. Shloisha matirin es abachar. There are three hediotis are allowed to be matir abachar when it comes to the sugyas of mumin. But the bottom line is, b'mok mishmei mumchin in the event you don't have a yachim mumin. But what do you see from here? That he was so medaktik. I come from Rabbi Yehuda. He was ikbid. He was very disappointed about what happened. But the Gemara asks Akasha. So again, Rav Zeira comes to Eretz Yisrael, and he sits down, he's going to eat a suda. And what's the suda that he eats? The suda that he eats is, it's mugremes to Rav Shmuel. The Chachmei Eretz Yisrael looking at Rav Zeira, what are you doing? How could you eat mugremes to Rav Shmuel? He says, this whole Rav Shmuel comes from Rav Yosef, he's not a bar samcha, okay? I bring kitte grisen fin nahardua. But the bottom, Pumpadisa, wherever he's coming from. But the bottom line is, and they said, okay, I hear. But the Gemara says, I still don't understand. Because you see from the reaction of the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael that the minig in Bavel was to follow this chumrah. Now, you want to tell me it was a chumrah that was based on a flawed Messiah from Rabbi Yosef? But Lamaisa, there's something called Makam Shenagu, right? There's something called a minig. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Reb Zeir, at the end of the day, you came from a place where the minig was to be machmir. And by the way, let's explain this a drop better. It sounds a little bit from the Gemara that Reb Zeir, when he was in Eretz Yisrael, when he was in Bavel, he maybe didn't eat mugremes to Rav Shmuel. But now he came to Eretz Yisrael, he felt like a free man. I'm not meshuvah to this anymore, right? But the Gemara says, Reb Zeir, lesle nois nanol of chumre amakam sheyatzim isham, v'chumre amakam shehalach l'sham. The minig in Bavel was not to eat. And the Gemara is assuming Reb Zeir himself probably didn't eat. Elamai, now he's in Eretz Yisrael. He's not Meshubit. But it's not true. He is Meshubit. It's the Mishnah, Makam Shenagu, Psachim Daf Nun, one of the most famous Mishnayos in Shas. That if somebody goes from a Makam Shenagu this way to a Makam Shenagu that way, so the halach is, they're nois and chumri Makam Shalach. So he came from a place when they were machmir, so the should have been machmir. So the Gemara says, "Amar Abaye." Abaye said, "Hani mili." You know when that halacha was said, that halacha makom shenagu. This is talking about when somebody goes mi bavel l'bavel, or me eretz yisrael eretz yisrael inami, or even me eretz yisrael l'bavel. Avol mi bavel eretz yisrael ayid. Gait thin bovel to Meretz Yisrael, kiven danan kaifino lehu. Being that the Chachmei Bovel were makif kaif to the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, right, their Bezdin was a more authoritative Bezdin, they were able to pass in Dine Knossos, like Rashi says. So of Dinam Kavasayu, over there it's already going to be different. Vashem, Rashi said a different test. I feel the tame bovel to Eretz Yisrael. Could be, even when a person goes from Bovel to Eretz Yisrael, you still have to keep and maintain the chumris of the Makam Shahalach Misham. But I feel hachi, Reb Zeir in Daite Lachzer Hava. Reb Zeir was not planning, but that's only true if the person plans on coming back. Reb Zeir was not planning on coming back. And being there, Reb Zeir was not planning on coming back. So as it relates to Reb Zeir, this was something that was not in the game. By the way, this Gemara feels like a good sushtel to a Yid that's in Chutz Laaretz and it goes to Eretz Yisrael. You keep 1 day Yontif, 2 days Yontif. It is a good sushtel, right? This is very much the sugi in Perek Makam Shenagu. When we learned Makam Shenagu, we did a whole raid bite on this, Ayin Shang. But either way, Zok to Gemara, one last piece. Amalei Abayla Reb Yosef. Abaya told Rav Yosef, "Varabanan da asim mechuzah." The Rabbanan that came from Mechuzah, Amri said, "Amr Rav Zeira mishmeder Rav Nachman." That Rav Zeira said in the name of Rav Nachman that mugremes kshera, that mugremes is actually kosher. So what's the kasha? The kasha is that the Gemara assumed for a davar pasha that in Bavel the minig was that people did not eat the mugremes of Rav and Shmuel, this mugremes of Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, right? People were machmir in that Indian. The question was, Rav Zeir comes to Eretz Yisrael, all of a sudden he's a free man, he's allowed to eat it. Like, what happened over here? Like, what? So the Gemara gave different terutzim. But the Gemara says, Abaye told Rav Yosef, I don't even think that's true, because I heard that Rabbanu came from Mechuzah, and they said that Rav Zeir himself said, the name Rav Nachman, that mugremes is kshera. It sounds like Dailan was eating mugremes. So if Dailan was eating mugremes, that should undermine this whole discussion. Rav Zeir should have said, or the Gemara should have defended Rav Zeir. No, he came from a place place where Megremis was actually treated as being okay. Amalei Rav Yosef told Abaye, Nahara Nahara Upashte. This is an expression that you find different rivers flow different ways. Meaning, Bavel was not all created equally. There were places in Bavel where they were a little bit more machmer. There were places in Bavel they were a little bit more mekel. We're going to stop here. Beis Hashem will pick this up tomorrow. We're still in the middle of the technicalities. Tomorrow's daf will start off with a little bit of a recap, which will segue into the next part, some heavy lumdus in tomorrow's daf as well, as we are going to see. But as it relates to Raid, stopping this a little bit abruptly, and really going back to the Iker portion of yesterday's daf, and that is the epic machloikis between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. So let's just set this up a little bit. We mentioned that there are psukim in Parashas Re'eh, this is in Perik Yud Beis, Pasuk Chav, Chav Aleph, Chav Beis, Chav Gimel, Chav Dalet, Chav Hei, Chav Vav, Chav Zayin, Chav Ches, tucked away, that describe Moshe Rabbeinu telling the Yidden that when you're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to want to eat basar, it'll be okay to eat basar. Stating that, you have to shecht. Also, make sure you don't eat the dam. You can eat it betumah or betahira. Also, recognize it's only true for chulin. As it relates to kachim, that already you're going to have to bring to the Makom HaMikdash, and if you do that, that's basically what Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Yidden. Now, it would seem to suggest that before the Yidden came to Eretz Yisrael, there was something in this parsha that was really off limits. And there was a major machloikis, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, what that was. Rabbi Shmuel said, I understand, reading the simplest translation of these words in these psukim, that what the pasuk is saying is that until the Yidden came to Eretz Yisrael, if somebody wanted to eat meat just because he wanted a piece of meat, it would not have been okay. Basar taiva was asa during the 40 years that the other one in the Midbar. It was dafka when they came to Eretz Yisrael that it became mutter. Rabbi Akiva said that's untenable. For sure the Yidden were allowed to eat basar taiva when they were in the Midbar. Okay, so then what's the chiddush of this pasuk? The chiddush is that when they were in the Midbar, if they wanted to eat basar taiva, you can go hunting. But here, v'zavachta mipkarcha mitzayincha, asher nasan Hashem l'cha kasha etzivisicha, now already you have to conform with the laws of shechita. So according to Rabbi Yishmael, there was an Issa Basa type 40 years in the Midbar, which became mutter when they came to Eretz Yisrael. According to Rabbi Akiva, there was a head to Basa Nechira during the 40 years that the Yidden were in the Midbar. And when they came to Eretz Yisrael, now all of a sudden Basa Nechira became Masa. We also saw very much in yesterday's daf that the Gemara said that inasmuch as Rabbi Yishmael holds, there was an Issa Basa Taiva, but it was only with regards to Basa, an animal that was able to be brought on the Mizbeach. But the Tzvi and the Isle, for example, the Slav that we mentioned in the post game yesterday, any animal that wasn't actually put on the Mizbeach, that you were allowed to eat al zel loy nemar an iser of basa taiva. The Gemara also qualified Shitas Rabbi Akiva that as much as Rabbi Akiva holds that you were allowed to eat basa nechira, that was only true as it relates to basa chulin. But basa kachim, learn parshas vayikra v'shachet es ben abakar, etc. So avada over there, there was going to be halacha of shechita. It was just as it relates to basa nechira, as it relates to chulin, there was halacha that you were allowed to eat basa nechira as well. Another thing we mentioned very much yesterday was that this machlokes for Rabbi Akiva has ramifications, had to learn by Yikra Perek Yitzayin, the parsha of Shchutei Chutz. We know there's a parsha of Shchutei Chutz, and then there's a parsha of Alos Chutz. This is Kachem 101, Perek Ashechet Vamayla, Paras Chatas, etc. And I think 100 out of 100 times, a Kachem de Giyid learns the parsha of Shchutei Chutz, and he looks at Rashi, B'mukdash Makasim Adaber, it's a parsha in Kachem, stating that the Ramban and the Ramam and the Yad Chazaka, and really all the Rishonim say that in the world of Rabbi Shmuel, for sure, there's welcome to say that that parish of Shchutei Chutz is actually not unique to B'Muktash Makasa Medaber. There is an Indian maybe of Shchutei Chutz B'Muktash Makasa Medaber. But the parish is Lav Davka B'Muktash, because even by Chulin there was an Issa Basa Taiva, and it could be that extended itself to an Issa Shchita Ad Kedei Kach, that if somebody would Shech Basa Taiva, it would even be Chayiv Karas. And the Ramban and Pshutei Shalmikra says, I prefer this Pshat, and he says that all the psukim and all the agadis have more mashma like Shitas Rabbi Shmuel, and therefore in Pshutei Shalmikra here in Vayuka Perik Yitzayin and Lushitasa in Parashas Re'ei Perik Yudeis, the Ramban goes and he's mefarish to psukim like Rabbi Shmuel that it's not even dealing with bim muktash makas b'daber, but rather what it's dealing with is basa chulin. What it's dealing with is an isa teshech basa taiva
b'chutz, and if a person would go ahead and do that, he would be chayiv kras. We mentioned yesterday ba'arichos, the Rambam in the end of Perek Dalet of Hilchos Shechita, where the Rambam learns like Rabbi Akiva, halacha Rabbi Akiva mechaveroi. But even in Rabbi Akiva's world, the Rambam learned the pshut eishal mikra in Parashas Achrimos. The Parashas of Shechutei Chos is talking about b'chulin, because even Rabbi Akiva, who held that basan achira is mutter, the side of it is that if you want to eat chulin, it has to be achira, because the only time you're allowed to do shechita is dafka in the makom hamikdash. Either way, this is some of the rabbi we spoke about yesterday. We mentioned from the Netziv what would be the beer that inalad shech basa chulin period, and that it's a chi of karis. The teretz is because the pasuk says v'lo yizbuchu oid esifcheim l'seir masher hem zayin machreim. That's what the pasuk says, and that is a reason maybe not only to not shech kachim b'chutz, but not even to shech tchulim b'chutz. And if this is an abizrayu d'avodah zarah, you understand why it's something that would carry with it this harsh punishment of a chiv karis. Again, there's so much to be marchiv on this inyan. Ki yarchiv Hashem l'keches gvulcha. But again, a very, very short recap of some of the raid that we spoke about yesterday. But as it relates to today, I think it's kedai to have a little bit of fun as it relates to Ray, specifically from the Beis Medrash of Rameya Simcha, the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma in Parshas Achrimos, this is in Perek Tez Zayin, Pasuk Gimel. He brings a Davar Yodua that also Baruch Hashem we've spoken about so many times over the years. And it's said over in the name of the Goyen, it's Kamada Mefurish and Medrash in the beginning of Parshas Achrimos. But the Goyen said that we know that the only time a person was allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadosh was on Yom Kippur. And even then, it was only the Kohen Gadol. B'zois Yaveh Haran al HaKodesh. It was Dafka, the Kohen Gadol, the holiest person on the holiest day of the year. But said the Goyin that it's not true, it's a misnomer. Because in reality, if a Haran HaKohen wanted to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he was able to enter it any day of the year. Ki im b'zois yovei haran ala kodesh, as long as he followed the Seder Avoida that was mandatory to be done on Yom Kippur, he was able to go whenever it is that he wanted to go. We've mentioned that the Chayyadam, in the back of his Sefer Chachmas Adam, so Chayyadam was written on Erechaim, Chachmas Adam was written on Yerideh. In the back of Chachmas Adam, he has a little kuntres that he wrote, the Ilu Nishmas, his son that died prematurely. He named him Matzevas Moshe, his son's name was Moshe, and he brought seven rayas from Psukim to this chiddush of his Rebbe, the Vilna Goyen, which really is Kamada Mefurish and Medrash. And that is that if a Haran HaKohen, Dafka Haran, when the Yidu in the Midbar for those 40 years wanted to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim on a regular Tuesday, he could, as long as he followed the Seyda Avodah. So Rameh Simcha has a whole arichos on this Goyen. And Toich Tvarev, he says, what's the penimius of it? Like, what would be the reason? Why is it that for all the generations, the Kohen Gadol was only able to go one day a year? But when the Yidu were in the Midbar, then he can go whenever he wanted, says Rameh Simcha. We know from the Sugis of Masechtes Yuma, the first daf of Masechtes Shavuos, that the Ikra Avoid of Yom Kippur was Mechaper for what? It was Mechaper for Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. In fact, everything other than the Sar LaZazel, pretty much, was Mechaper for different permutations and variables in the world of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. Says Rameh Simcha, it's Yutachin to say that ordinarily Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav was not something that was so shchiach, it wasn't so matzoi. As a result, one day a year, kibayoy mazeh, the Yidden got kapara for Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. But when the Yidden were 40 years in the Midbar, we know Shitas Rabbi Yishmael is that there was an issa to eat basa taiva. Being that there was an issa to eat basa taiva, any time a person wanted a steak dinner, you know what he had to do? He had to bring a korban shlamim. And the basa that he was eating was always kachem the gebasar. So he says it's poshet that the Yidden amzich gedreit man in the Mishkan, and the Yidden amzich gedreit man mit kachem. Which means there was more Tumas Mikdash, and there was more Tumas Kadoshav. Being that you had more mikdash for kadoshav, you needed more opportunities to get kapara. You couldn't rely on doing it once a year. That's why when the Yidden were 40 years in the Midbar, there was an eitzah, said the Goyen, I'll pee this medrash, for a Haran HaKohen to enter more often. By him doing that, there would be more opportunities for the Yidden to be able to get kapara. That's the first Meshech Chachma. Second Meshech Chachma, this is in Parashas Kedoshim. This is Perek Yutes Pasuk Hei, a pasuk that we mentioned recently a few times, the last Gemara Masechtes Menachis, and we had it here in the beginning of Chulin as well. The Chisiz Bechu Zevach Shlomim Lashem, Lertzoinchem Tizbachu. If you're going to bring a carbon Shlomim, you should bring a Lertzoinchem. What does Lutzoinchem mean? Problem is Asik. But Lutzoinchem Tizbuchu says, Rameh Simcha, why does the Pasik say this only by the Shlomim? It doesn't say by any other carbon. Make sure you bring it Luratzen. It's Tavka by the Shlomim that we say, make sure you bring it Luratzen. So Rameh Simcha says, because what does Luratzen mean? Luratzen means you should do it wholeheartedly. When you bring a carbon, you shouldn't be bringing it ba'ayinus ubekfiya. You should be doing it 100% the way you want to. In fact, if you take a look at Eben Ezra, right in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, so the pasuk says Yakriv oisar lirtzoynei lefnei Hashem. Zok to Eben Ezra, she yakrivenu lirtzoynei v'lei ba'ayinus. And it's really based on the Gemara in Bava Basra, koifen oisachi emiroitzani, that famous sugya. But the point is that when we talk about bringing a carbon lirotzin, what it means is you want 100% to bring the carbon. He says any time a person brought a carbon, he was probably bringing a baratzen. Why else was he bringing the carbon? He said, but in the 40 years of the Midbar, the Yidden were not allowed to eat basa taifa, which means if I want a steak dinner, there's only one way I could do it. I have to bring a carbon. V'er says Rameh Simcha, it's Yitachin, it's Mestaver, that maybe when he's bringing this carbon, he's not really bringing it because he wants to. He's bringing it ba'ainis. What's the ainis? I have no choice. But really, I just want to order a steak to go. I want a pastrami on a ride. That's really all I want, with a pickle and mustard. I'm not interested right now in bringing a carbon. There's an issa basa taiva. That's why by the Shlomim, the Torah said, Lutzoim chentiz b'chu. I know what you might be thinking. It's upon him chadoshes in seeing the Shlomim, right? We mentioned that diak in the parish of Shchut Echutz yesterday. Shlomim, because the Shlomim served a dual purpose 40 years in the Midbar. It was the way you had a steak dinner. So you would have thought that maybe there you're not going to have the proper rotzen. And poshep shan in the pasuk. That's why the Torah says, Rameh Simcha says, Lutzoim chentiz b'chu. Another meshachachma. Gemara says in Menachis, Daf Chof Tes Amar Aleph, Tanu Rabbi Shma, Shloish Shedvarim Hayu Kashin Loi LaMoshe. There were three things that were very difficult for Moshe. Acheheru Loi Kodesh Baruch Hu Betzboi. Tan Kodesh Baruch Hu pointed to these three things and then he understood. If Eluhain, Menoira, Vrish Chodesh, Vishrotzen. Those were the three things. Menoira, how do you know it? Tichsev Ezem Maiseh HaMenoira. Rish Chodesh, today. Tichsev HaChodesh HaZelochem. Rosh Chodoshim. And Shrotzim, because it says, V'zelochem HaTameh. Zok to Gemara, V'yesh Oimrim. There are those that say, Af Hilcha Shchita. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, V'zeh Ashetase Alam Mizbeach. Victor Meir Simcha, why is it that this Yesh Oimrim in this Braisa, that says, Af Hilcha Shchita, learned that it was kosher for Moshe Rabbeinu to do shechita, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show him how to do shechita, from which pasuk, v'zeh asher tasa al ha-mizbeach. The end of the pasuk, by the way, is kvasim b'nei shana shnayim la yom tamid. It's from the Karben Ayla. Why was Hilcha Shechita taught by the Karben Ayla? L'chayra, shechita schulin. It was always the gate to have to know how to do shechita. Why is the v'zeh asher tasa al ha-mizbeach tafka by shechita's kosher? Zok Rameh Simcha, l'fi Rabbi Akiva, who holds that you're allowed to eat basar taiva b'nechira. So where was in Negei Shechita only in Kachim? That's why it's tucked away in Parashas Tetzava. When we're dealing with Shechita's Kachim, v'zeh ashetas olam mizbeach. Aren't you eating meat every day? Yeah. Aren't you eating the slav? Yeah, we've been eating the slav, but we've been shooting it out of the sky. That's how we've been doing it, old school. But in terms of Shechita, we've never done a Shechita. Oh, now you're telling me there's something called Shechita? Where you be mechada Shechita to me? In the carbon tamid, the ikur carbon of all the carbonas? Oh, so that's a dove that was neschadish in kachim. Like the Gemara said, kachim shiny. A kachim shiny, zokra mei simcha. That's why I rather saw the hafla in his panim yafis, right here on this pasuk. He says exactly what mei simcha says, and he actually makes a second level cheshbon, because who's the first Shechita? It's Tana Rabbi Yishmol said Shloish Shedvarim Hayikashin Loi L'Moshe, and the Yesh Oimrin is Afil Cheshchita. He makes the Cheshin. Yesh Oimrin is Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yishmol is Shitasai Ayin Sham in the Hafla. He has a slightly different nusach than Rameh Simcha. We're staying in the world of Rameh Simcha now. Ayin Sham. Either way, so far we did three Rameh Simchas. Right, first one was in Parshas Achrimois with regards to the Goyin. Why Aaron HaKohen was able to enter Lefnai V'Lefnim whenever he wanted to enter Lefnai V'Lefnim. The second one was Parshas Kedosh, and why the Torah has to say L'Tzoinchem Tizbachu as it relates to the Karben Shlomim. And the third one was the one that we just mentioned in Parshas Tetzava. This is in Rabbi Akiva's world. Why the Vizeh that was kosher to Moshe Rabbeinu, how to do the Shechita, is something that was mentioned by the Karben Tamid, L'Chaira, all the Shechitas that they were doing. It should have been a gay already by Shechita Schul. And the Teretz is because then already Basar Lechir was mocked. But I want to mention a fourth Rameh Simcha. And this one is a dot longer. But it's classic, Ben Benoishel classic. And this Meshech Chachma is in Parshas Boy. It's Perik Yubeis Pasuk Zayin. The Pasuk says, V'amartem Zevach Pesach Hu L'Hashem. Ramei Simcha makes a diuk, and that is that the Torah mentions twice this idea that the Korban Pesach should be Lashem. It mentions it in Perek Yud-Beis Pasuk Yud-Aleph, V'achaltem oisa b'chi pozoin Pesach hu Lashem. And then it says it again in Pasuk Chav Zayin, V'amartem zevach Pesach hu Lashem. Frank Ramei Simcha, why is it that the first time it mentioned V'achaltem oisa b'chi pozoin Pesach hu Lashem, that the achil of the Korban Pesach should be Lashem, and the second time it says V'amartem zevach Pesach hu Lashem, means the zvicha throughout Kodshim, that the shechita should be Lashem. It's two psukim in the same Perek in Parshas Bo. One time the dogish is on the achiva. The second time, the dogish is on the zvicha. Zokrimei simcha. We know that the halacha is, it's a gemara mesach the zvachim dav gimel, that although there's something called the machshava peiselas when it comes to kachim, but at the same time, kachim mechalalim kachim, the in chulin mechalalim kachim. The gemara says, demina machriva, the lav mina loy machriva. So if somebody brings a carbon and he has a machshava, a different carbon, oilo l'shem shlomim, that's a machshava peiselas. But if somebody would be Mechavin, Oilo Lashom Chulin, being that that's not Kachim Mechalim Kachim, that's the Lav Minoloi Machriba, over there it wouldn't be a problem. Stating that, the Rambam, with his Gresa Koyach in Hoira, in Hilchas Psuli Amikdosh and Perak Tes Vav Alochi Yeralev says, Ha Pesach She Shochtoi B'machshev Eshine Hashem, Bein Sheshine Shmoy Lashem Zevach Acher, Bein Sheshineu Lashem Chulin. If somebody shechts the carbon pesach l'shem chulin pasul shenemar va'amartem zevach pesach u'lashem, the Rambam says there's one exception to this rule. That's the carbon pesach. If somebody would shecht the carbon pesach and he would have it in mind l'shem chulin, the halacha would be pasul. How do I know that? Shenemar va'amartem zevach pesach u'lashem. And the question, says Ramei Simcha, is why is it that the carbon pesach is different? And even in the carbon pesach, the Rambam's lashon is a pesach sheshochtoi. It sounds like it's only the shechit of the carbon pesach. And look at the pasuk. V'amartem zevach pesach u'lashem v'loy l'shem chulin. It's learned that from a pasuk in Pesach and a pasuk that talks about the shechita of the Pesach. What's the reason for it? Why would it be that the carbon Pesach would be different, and why within the world of the carbon Pesach would it be davka the shechita of the carbon Pesach? Says Ramei Simcha, take a look at what I wrote in my Orsa Meach, my Pirush on the Rambam right here in Perek Tezvav in Halach Yirav Alf. And if you take a look at Ramei Simcha over there, he says a dover nifla. He says, what's the svar? Why is it that if somebody has a machshav l'shem chulin, it's not considered a machshava piselas? So Kramei Simchas a pashta zach. He said the reason is because in order for a machshava to pasul, the machshava has to be meyunyana, has to have shaychus. He says if somebody is going to go ahead and have a machshava that has nothing to do whatsoever with what it is you're doing, the lav mino loy machriba, it's not going to have the ability to have any impact. So says Kramei Simcha, that's pasha. If somebody would do a kabbalah hilacha zrika, pick your carbon, and you would have in mind l'shem chulin, of course it wouldn't be a machshav apiselas, because there's no kabbalah lachas rika when it comes to chulin. The only place it would even be shayach to have a machshav l'shem chulin, there's one place in the whole world. That would be shechita. But Zokra Mei Simcha, let's be honest. Shechitas kachem and shechitas chulin, as much as we know shechita lav avoydehi, but they're not one and the same. Because shechitas chulin is be'ikr to be matur basal achila, and shechitas kachim is to be matur basal achila, but it's also to be machshed the dam, to be able to go on the mizbeach. So even by shechitas Zokra Meir Simcha, a machshav l'shem chulin is the lav minu loy machr, but it's not going to be okay. Of a Zokra Meir Simcha, everybody knows that there's one carbon in the world that's different than all the other carbonas. There's one carbon in the world where the ikr of the carbon is not avoydehi sadam. Think of the carbon is the achila, and that's the carbon pesach. That's why the carbon pesach doesn't say rechti chayach. And that's why by the carbon pesach, someone that's a zaken or a chayla can't be part of a carbon pesach. And that's why in the sugi vein basar ain't dam, even if you have a kazayis of emur, but if you don't have a kazayis of basar, you can't bring the carbon pesach. And that's why there's something called the machshava shaloyl shum oichlov that you have in psachim that you don't. There's 100 rayas to this. This is the yesoid musid that we spoke about countless times when we learn masechtas psachim. But the bottom line is, this is carbon pesach 101, that it's fundamentally different than all the other carbonas. All karbanis, the ikr is the avodah sadam. Granted, there's a chelik of it that's achila. But when it comes to karban pesach, the ikr is the achila. And that's why the Beis Halevi said that in the minyan mitzvahs, the Rambam never counted any of the achilos of a karban as a separate mitzvah. With the exception of mitzvahs achilos karban pesach, it's the sixth mitzvah in the world of the chinuch. It's a special mitzvah in the world of the Rambam. It's because there the achila is the ikr. And being that the achila is the ikr there, it's different. When it comes to the shechita of the karban pesach, when it when it comes to the Shechita of the Karban Pesach, that Shechita is really very similar to Shechita Schulin. Because Shechita Schulin is coming to be Matabas Bachilo, and this, although it's not exclusively coming to be Matabas Bachilo, but the Iker is coming to be Matabas Bachilo. That's the only place where Machshav Lashom Chulin has Shaychis to what it is you're doing. That's why the Rambam said, V'amartem Zevach Pesach Ula Hashem, that this is the one place in the world where Machshav Lashom Chulin is actually going to passel the carbon. This is where Meis Simcha says in our Sameach, and he tells you to look at in his shtickle over here in Meshech Chachma Parshas Bay. So l'fia now, Zokri Meis Simcha, that I want to say that it could be during the 40 years that the Yid were in the Midbar, during that Kufa, we know Rabbi Akiva holds that they were allowed to eat Basa Nechira. The Rambam in the end of Perek Dal Hilfa Shechita paskind like Rabbi Akiva. That means during that Kufa they were allowed to eat Basa Nechira. Was there no Shechita? Of course there was Shechita. Kachem Shaini. There was Shechita Dafka in the world of Kachem. But during that Kufa, when a Yid went and he did Shechita on a carbon, that Shechita was very unique to Kachem. Because there was no such thing as Shechita as related to Chulin. In fact, you weren't allowed to Shecht Chulin. There are Mamolds, you would have Karis if you went ahead and you Shecht Chulin. If that's the case, during that Kufa, it was a Dava Pasha Zokra Mea Simcha, that if somebody would have gone ahead and he would have Shechted the carbon Pesach, and he would have had a mindless from Chulin, no Sheiches in the world. What is that? This is a shechita that's unique to Kachem, and you're having a mind, you're shechting an animal, which by the way, you're not even allowed to do, but that would be the equivalent of putting a bullet between its eyes. That zikha would have no shaykhis. If that's the case, during that kufa, it would be a delav mina, or delav mina loy machriba, zokra mea simcha. When it says in the Torah, v'achalta moysam, b'oysay b'chi pazim, Pesach ul Hashem, in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Alf, it's talking about the Pesach Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu was told you then how to bring the Pesach Mitzrayim. Pesach Mitzrayim, yeah, Achila has to be Lashem, the Gemara Nazir. Like two people could eat the carbon Pesach. One eats it Lashem, and the other person eats a Lashem Achila Gasa. Oh, but Tzizogin v'achaltem moisa b'chipoza in Pesach u'Lashem. Say v'amartem zevach Pesach u'Lashem. Shetei zvicha Lashem Hashem. Which the Rambam says is telling you what, the Lashem Chulin is not going to be okay. It doesn't make sense. Because it's the Zelbet L'amin Olay Macher, but they have by all the other Kabbalahs, they have by Kabbalah Loch and Zrik, even by the carbon Pesach. But if you look before Pesach of Zayin, the Pesach is a Vayu Allah, so we're going to go there. And you're going to prove us, say there, we got it to Levincha, and then you're going to bring the carbon Pesach, v'amartem zevach Pesach ul Hashem. Oh, now already you're living in the Tkufa where there is a halach of Shechita. Being that you're living already in a Tkufa where there's a halach of Shechita, so kum techoi Shechitas Chulin and Shechitas carbon Pesach is really one and the same. It's the mina machrevba. Now we're ready, v'amartem zevach Pesach ul Hashem. That's where it's the Shinoi. When the Yidu in Mitzrayim, there was no Inyan of Shalai L'Shem Chulin, because there was no Inyan of Shechita. Where's the Inyan of L'Shem Chulin? That's something that was Neschadish when the Yidin came into Eretz Yisrael. Before Kisavayu Ula Aretz in the Pesach Mitzrayim, it's V'achalta Moisa B'chipaz in Pesach Ula Hashem. When the Yidin came into Eretz Yisrael, then it's already V'amartem Zevach Pesach Ula Hashem. I'll pee what the Rambam said in Perik Tezvav Aloch Yir Aleph over here in Hilchas Psuli HaMikdashim. But what emerges from this Rameh Simcha is really a Soy Gadol. But what emerges is the Yisoid Gadol, and that is that Shechita shifted fundamentally in the world of Rabbi Akiva from when the Yidden were in the Midbar to when the Yidden came into Eretz Yisrael. The definition of Shechita was very different, because when the Yidden were in the Midbar, the only Shechita that you had was a Shechita that was Lashem, Kachem Shaini. But when the Yidden came into Eretz Yisrael, now all of a sudden, every Chulin required a Shechita. The Shechita became a very different Shechita. The emes is, if you look around in the Achronim, you'll find this Chiddush of Rameh Simcha with a Tosefes Neufach. And that is, we know Shechita Lava Vaydehi. This is Kachem 101. Why Shechita Lava Vaydehi? It's a Tos Rauchas brings in the name of the Re Meir Leinish, also known as the Re of Orleans. But the Re Meir Leinish, one of the Bali Tosefes, said that why is it that Shechita Lava Vaydehi? It's because the reason you're doing the Shechita is part and parcel because you're going to want to eat the basar. And the only time you can eat the basar is if you do a Shechita. If that's the case, there's mokim to say, zogin de gedoyli gedoyli achroinim, that the only time you're going to say that Shechita's lava voide, he was only once the Yidden came into Eretz Yisrael. But when the Yidden went to Midbar, before they came into Eretz Yisrael, at that point, Shechita was very much yes in avoide. So in terms of understanding the shift and the move in the world of Rabbi Akiva, Shechita avoide Shchita Lavavoida, that's how fundamental it is. The whole Masecht is Vachim, which is very much miyusir on Shchita Lavavoida. This is something that was Neschadish Dafka when the Eden came into Eretz Yisrael. Before they came into Eretz Yisrael, not. That means, I saw in the Sfarim from all the Sinais, Reb David Yoel Weiss, the Baal Megadim Chadashim, Lehavdol Bin Chaim Lechaim, Rab Zev Wolf Leiter from Pittsburgh, in Ishael Shuvas Beis Dovin, and other places, they quote different Maram Rekoimus from different Gedolei Achrim that said this Chiddush, that according to Rabbi Akiva, Shechita Lav Avoidi was not true when the Yidden were in the Midbar. Because then the only Shechita he had was Shechita's Kachem. I was Malakit who I saw at Beshein, the Vilna Goyen, the Panim Meiris, the Baal Panim Meiris, the Maramash, the Chida, we're telling Tzur Meis Simcha, the Chedushi Arim, Rabbi Fall Hamburger, the Marsham, and Rameh Shapiro, the founder of Daf Yomi, and Shalos Tshuvos Oy Rameh. Some of this is very raid-worthy and kedai to maybe talk about in one of the coming days. But the bottom line is, this is a Yesod Musa that the Gedolei Achronim, and the span everywhere from Vilna to Poland, and everything in between, where the Gedolei Achronim all took out this Nekud in the world of Rabbi Akiva again. This is just four Meshech Chachmas, because... why not? And it's so geschmack. But again, there's so much raid that comes out. Sayin Shitas Rabbi Yishmael and Sayin Shitas Rabbi Akiva. We are going to stop here.